Let us pray. May only God's word be spoken, and may only God's word be heard. Amen. Please be seated. This past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension. And on Ascension, we remember, we commemorate that moment when Jesus took the disciples 40 days after the first Easter, after his resurrection, out to the Mount of Olives. And he gave them a little bit of some final words, last wisdom, and then he ascended up into heaven. And this moment very much was a second death for the disciples. The first death, of course, is on Good Friday, and they were beginning that process of grieving when their grief was interrupted by the resurrection. And for 40 days, they had all kinds of encounters with Jesus, weird and wild and wonderful experiences of the risen Lord there with them in person, in flesh. And we heard many of those stories at the beginning of the Easter season, stories like we heard on Easter Sunday when Mary Magdalene had that experience by the empty tomb of encountering the risen Lord. We heard a couple of different versions, John and Luke's versions, of the ways that the disciples had gathered together in a locked room in their fear, and Jesus appeared among them and showed them his wounds. There's all kinds of other stories too, like the road to Emmaus, when two disciples were walking about 7 miles off to a place called Emmaus, and Jesus showed up to them, and they didn't know it was him, and then in the breaking of the bread, they realized that he had been with them that entire time. Stories like the disciples going back to work in the Sea of Galilee and Jesus calling them from the shore in the early morning and feeding them some freshly cooked fish. There are many other stories that we don't have as well. They were not recorded in the Gospels. We do here tell of them. And of course, this final resurrection experience where he meets them at the Mount of Olives and he says goodbye and he leaves. And now he is gone. He says, this is it. I am going back. You're not going to see me again like that. And this is the final moment. It is a second death. And they restart that grieving process. And like so many of us in grief, their first response is just to be stuck, right? They just stand there looking up. Takes a while. Finally, some angels come along and say, what are you looking at? Gotta get out of here. He's gone. But the next thing they do is something that is so very normal in our grief as well. And whatever loss it is we have, so many of us do in response, is we try and go back to the way it was before. We try to pretend that loss didn't happen. We try to recreate the past as if we could. And so what do? They say, well, there used to be 12 of us. We lost one, that Judas guy. So let's pick a new Judas. And they create this criteria. This criteria is the person had to have been with us from the beginning, which I find to be a fascinating detail. The way I had always imagined this as a kid was that Jesus called the disciples and got his 12 and then kind of went out and started preaching and other people came along for the ride. But that's not what the Acts of the Apostles says. It says there's a whole bunch of other people as well. They're from the very beginning, and one of those is going to be one of our new 12. There's so many, we have options here that we can pick from. Again, they're trying to go back. They're trying to imagine the world as if we could go back in time and be the way that we were. But here's the problem. You can never go back. You cannot recreate the past. And what they're in is not necessarily a new beginning. They're actually in kind of a liminal in-between time between the Ascension and Pentecost. It's actually just 10 days for them. They have no idea this is about to happen. But next week, we're going to hear the story, the way the Holy Spirit came down and lit a fire underneath them to go out into the world and do all kinds of wonderful and amazing work. But they're not there. Right now, they are in this moment of deep grief, trying to recreate what once was. What is true for them is true for us. We do the same thing. When we have loss, we so often try and grasp at the world as it once was. Whether that's loss of our individual life, the death of a loved one, or the loss of some kind of part of our life. We also do that as a community, as a country. So many of us want to long for a past. We do that as a church. We long for a church that once was, whether that was the church of the 1950s, the great booming bust period was fantastic. I'm sure I wasn't around then, but I hear great things about it. The church of the 80s and 90s, I loved it. It was fantastic, right? We keep trying to recreate that, but that's the past. The church before the pandemic, the church of February 2020, it was great. I loved it. But it's gone. That ship has sailed. We can't recreate the past. Instead, what we do is we move forward. Now, it's not that the past is like completely gone. It's not discontinuity between them, right? The past, we bring forward elements of it. We can't recreate it. Instead, what we do is we build upon it. So yeah, they can't recreate what life was like for them while Jesus was there. But what they can do is they can move forward in faith, pulling forward the best of that life. They can keep grounded, as the Holy Spirit will lead them to do, stay grounded in the life, death, and resurrection. Jesus, stay grounded in the way of love that Jesus taught them and Jesus showed them through his kindness and compassion and healing. They can pull all that forward, but it's not going to look the same. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be something new and something wonderful, guided by the Holy Spirit. And you already know all the ways that it's going to shift because you've been hearing that story throughout this Easter season. The lectionary does this really weird thing where it kind of messes up the chronology of everything. So during those early Easter Sundays, we were hearing stories about what the early church was like in the Acts of the Apostles. But all those stories we heard, those were all after Pentecost. Okay, now we've gone back, and Thursday we heard about the Ascension. Today we heard about this in-between time, and next Sunday we'll hear about Pentecost itself. But you already know what's going to happen, and that is that the disciples are going to find out the power of the Holy Spirit is going to lead them in new ways, not ways that are totally discontinuous with Jesus, but ways that build on what Jesus was doing. And last week we heard the story of the way that Peter finally comes to realize that Jesus' message of love and peace and justice and forgiveness and mercy and kindness and compassion, that message is not just for him and people like him, it's for the Gentiles also. And so he gets to this moment where he finally realizes that they too can be baptized. That God's message of love, that way of love of Jesus, is for all people and all of creation. That's different than what they experienced when they were just the 12 of them with Jesus during his life. But it builds on it in ways that make so much sense from everything that Jesus showed us. And that is the model for us as we move forward, individually, as a country, as a church, whatever loss we've experienced, we can't rebuild that. It is not possible. What we can do instead is move forward in faith, continuing to follow that way of love, not as it was, but as it is. What we can do is we can follow the Holy Spirit and all the wonderful and wild ways that the Spirit is moving this world, lighting a fire under us to go out and bring that message of love and peace and kindness and compassion and forgiveness to this world that so desperately needs it. The reason we try and go back and rebuild the past is because there's some comfort in there. We're trying to fill some kind of need in our lives, but the real way to fill that need is through love. It's through the way of love. So what we can do is we can share that love. We can bring that love to this world that so desperately needs it. We can look for the way the Holy Spirit is blowing. And we can follow along. Keep doing what Jesus did. Keep loving this world. Keep caring for this world. And we can join in that good work. Amen.